Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, The Atrocities of King Kamsa, Text 26. Evam etan mahabhaga yathavadasi dehinam agena pravavaham di swapareti bida itaha. Evam. Yes, this is right. Etat. What you have said. Mahabhaga. O great personality. Yata. As. Vadasi. You are speaking. Dehinam. About living entities. Accepting material bodies. Agya prabhava, by the influence of ignorance. Ahamdi, this is my interest. False ego. Svapara iti, this is another's interest. Vida, differentiation. Yata, because of such a conception of life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O great personality, Kamsa, only by the influence of ignorance does one accept the material body and bodily ego. What you have said about this philosophy is correct. Persons in the bodily concept of life, lacking self-realization, differentiate in terms of this is mine and this belongs to another. Purport. Everything is done automatically by the laws of nature, which work under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no question of doing anything independently. For one who has put himself in this material atmosphere is fully under the control of nature's laws. Our main business, therefore, should be get out of this conditioned life and again become situated in spiritual existence. Only due to ignorance does a person think, I am a demigod, I am a human being, I am a dog, I am a cat. Well, some people think I'm a dog or a cat. Or the ignorance is still further advanced, I am God. That's what most people think. Unless one is fully self-realized, one's life of ignorance will continue. So the text again. You're translating? From English to Slovene? Good. Let me know if I'm going too fast. Evam etad mahabhaga yata vadasi dehinam agena pravahamdi svapareti vida yataha. O great personality, Kamsa, only by the influence of ignorance does one accept the material body and bodily ego. What you have said about this philosophy is correct. Persons in the bodily concept of life, lacking self-realization, differentiate in terms of this is mine and this belongs to another. Prabhupada mentions at the end of this particular purport that until one becomes fully self-realized, one's life of ignorance will continue. So we shouldn't be surprised if we're still somewhat in the bodily concept of life. On the other hand, we should be surprised that we have any opportunity to get out of the bodily concept of life. It's definitely not following the general public. Most people are not interested in finding out who they actually are, because as far as they're concerned, they are that body. And the whole idea is not to find out who you are, but how to improve the bodily condition of life. up to the end of life. That means the real interest is how to become realized in four things: how to eat, how to sleep, how to mate, and defend. Everyone is interested in how to perfect their lives in these four different avenues. So that's okay, except for the fact that since time immemorial, no one has ever perfected their materialistic life. It's a necessity, eating, sleeping, and perhaps even mating and defending is necessary, but it's not the only goal of life. Just like the only goal of life is not just to fill the gasoline tank with oil and with gas. It's not the only goal of life. It's necessary, but it's not the only thing we're supposed to do in life. We're also supposed to drive the car to some auspicious destination. So this human form of life is a great opportunity to become self-realized. Unfortunately, Mitirna Krishne Paratoksutova Mito Bipadyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobira Vishitam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvita Charvananam. Unfortunately, most people don't have the opportunity to hear about Krishna. Now, we ourselves are simply trying to learn how to hear about Krishna, but at least we have the opportunity to learn how to hear about Krishna. Because if we could actually hear about Krishna and we could actually follow what Krishna is telling us, then the result is that we'd actually experience Krishna. We become Krishna conscious. Now, becoming Krishna conscious means to be the experiencing not only unlimited beauty, unlimited wealth, unlimited fame, unlimited knowledge, unlimited strength, unlimited renunciation, but also unlimited love, affection, and bliss. Now, in the material world, if we just get a little drop of love or happiness or pleasure, we think we're in another world. We can't imagine an ocean of love, of pleasure, and of happiness. Because that's because we're conditioned. Still, if we have enough intelligence to take shelter of the process of devotional service, then there's a possibility of gradually getting a little drop of another type of happiness, spiritual happiness. And it is that happiness that we get that inspires us to go on with the process. Vishayavani vartante niharasi dehinam rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishvani vartate. Everyone is looking forward for happiness. No one joins the Hare Krishna movement or participates because they are getting too much happiness in the material world and they want to find out how, what it would be like to live as an austere monk in the Hare Krishna movement. That's not exactly why we come here. We're hoping to get one drop of happiness. And it's promised, Anandam Buddhivardhanam Patitpanam Panamritasvardhanam Sarvatma Snapadam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. Especially in the Harinam. And why the Harinam? Because it's an opportunity to see others chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. Although generally when we're walking down the street, most of us don't feel like dancing, I don't think. And if we did, they'd probably lock us up. But on the Harinam, when we see everyone else dancing and chanting and smiling, then we think, why not? Oh, I might as well do it too. And no one complains. As a matter of fact, as we saw yesterday, even ordinary people, they don't think we're crazy. Or if they think we're crazy, they want to become crazy like we are. Even other people joined in, they were dancing with us and smiling and had probably the best time of their existence. Finally, they got a chance to be crazy, happily crazy, and everyone thought it was completely normal. So that's what everyone's looking for, but we have to get out of the Bali. We have to at least temporarily surrender the Bali concept of life. And that's possible using the association with the devotees. It makes it easier. Otherwise, as I said, if you go out in the street and you start waving your arms up and down and jumping up and down and chanting Hare Krishna, people will think you're strange. Because they always think we're strange anyhow. But I think they're especially strange. But in good association, we can act as if we're not this body. We can utilize the body in Krishna's service, and gradually we can feel some kind of detachment from our materialistic, not only the body, but our materialistic association. No one who chants Hare Krishna on this padyatra thinks that they're really from Slovenia, or that someone else is from Croatia, or whatever else, or Italy, that only Slovenians can actually enjoy this Hare Krishna. No, it's universal. You see, whoever they're from, it doesn't make any difference. If the holy name is there, then we're all coming from the same place. We're all on the spiritual platform. So this is the value of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. Otherwise, if we want to find out another way of becoming self-realized, you can study the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita and see how simple it is. In the beginning of the 18th chapter, Krishna says that there are three things we're supposed to perform: yajna, dana, and tapas. Now, even that conception, the first qualification to make progress in becoming out of the Bali concept of life, this is starting with verse 2, and it has to go all the way up to verse 55, which is just a summary, before we're actually out of the Bali concept of life, actually 54. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. Which means we have two things that we have to become free from: Soshiti and Kangshiti. Now that sounds pretty easy. Just give up these two things and you're self-realized. You'll always be happy. Hankering and lamentation. These are the only two things we're in the material world. We're hankering for something we don't have, or we're lamenting over what we had and then we lost it. We have it and we don't like it. We want to get rid of it. So from lust comes greed, comes anger, and everything else. All the delusions follow. And in those delusions, we have make different relationships with people. Some of them are loving, some of them are antagonistic. All based upon our hankerings and lamentations. But those relationships become very entangling. This is my wife. This is my husband. These are my children. This is my dog. No one else loves me, but my dog loves me. Life is good. Even people come to the platform, I think this is my goldfish, my tank, and they love me. Whenever they see me, they swim to the glass and they smile. So at least someone is conscious of me in this world. So these are all entangling relationships. And because of these relationships especially, it's very hard to give up hankering and lamentation. Because we want to please people we have a relationship with, or we want to put into difficulty the people we have a bad relationship with. And therefore we hanker and lament over especially our relationships not only with this body, but the entangling relationships we have with other bodies. To think that we're going to escape from this material consciousness just by some intellectual exercise, by hearing a class, we're wrong. Matter of fact, as it says, 95% of what we hear in a class, 2 days later we'll forget about. Matter of fact, we won't even remember who gave the class. Or even what book he read from. We'll just guess it was the Srimad Bhagavatam. But if we get a practice and how to practice, obviously we're going to, we have a little tapasya in the Hare Krishna movement. We don't, on a codicil, we don't take grains, hopefully. And we sacrifice. Sometimes we have a fire sacrifice and we make the effort and we throw a few grains in and we think we're in heaven. And dhanam, we give some charity. But these things are not really that influential in our consciousness, generally speaking. Just like the devotees, sometimes they celebrate Bhima Ekadasi. They fast for the whole day. But they don't think, wow, this is a wonderful experience. They think I'll fast for a few weeks. No, they think they're looking at the clock. 2 seconds. 1 second. Time for prasadam. Oh my God, finally. So generally speaking, we're not embracing austerity. Oh, austerity. I can't wait for the next Ekadasi. Just can't wait. Maybe I should practice the Ekadasi today. And sacrifice, I mean, to give someone a pencil in charity is like a great thing. Although we keep on thinking about it. I gave my pencil away. It was my nicest pencil. I wonder how he's going to reciprocate. Hey, charity, sacrifice, and tapasya, sacrifice. Everyone's sacrificing their energies to get something in return. But to sacrifice without any desire, because people get up early in the morning and they go to work and they're sacrificing their energy so they can get something in return. A piece of paper that says they have some money or something in their bank balance. So they're sacrificing. Why? Because they want to please their family or they want to please their stomach. They want to please something in this material world. But the result is that no one's ever satisfied. Did you ever feed your stomach? And then for a week it says, no, no, don't worry, I'm satisfied. No, we fill the stomach up, and then after a couple of hours or a day or whatever it is, then it says, you're not serving me. I need service. Service. Do something. It's an emergency. So that's our sacrifice, austerity. Therefore, only by actually doing Sankirtan, chanting Japa or chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, can we actually do austerity. Because it's an austerity. Trying to control our minds is quite an austerity. Because generally speaking, most people don't have any problem that their minds are uncontrolled. It seems completely normal to them. They become anxious when they try to control their minds. It becomes a great problem, a great austerity. Even Brahma, he didn't fast on the lotus flower when he appeared. He heard this, he wanted to find out what was going on. After all, if we were born on a lotus flower, we'd probably be a little curious how we got here too. Imagine waking up one day and you were on a lotus flower. You'd say, what happened? At least we're trying to find out if there was any prasadam on the lotus flower. Is there a bed, some place to sleep around here? And if we found a bed and some prasadam, we'd go, oh, it's all right. No problem. My mobile phone work. Can I use WhatsApp here? So Brahma woke up, Lord Brahma, and he was wondering what's going on. After all, there was no light. There's nothing. It was quite austere. But he was wondering what's going on. So he climbed down the lotus flower. At least he could recognize the lotus flower. I guess it was self-effulgent. And he climbed down the lotus flower to find out where it came from. Normal curiosity. And then he heard the two words, tapa, from the Sparsha alphabet, Sanskrit alphabet. And he decided, okay, tapa, I know what that means. It means austerity. So he climbed back on top of the lotus flower. And what did he do? He tried to control his mind. That was his austerity. So the beginning of creation, the greatest austerity was to control the mind. And he fixed it on the words tapa, which came from Krishna. He thought this is the secret. Whoever has created this lotus flower, because he didn't think, well, it just came out of nothing. He knew that someone must have created it. And whoever created it, he heard the two words from the two letters of the alphabet, tapa. So that's what he meditated upon. And by meditating upon him, then eventually after some millions of years, not 15 minutes, or 2 hours a day he meditated on it, and after a few weeks he became self-realized. Now after millions of years meditating on tapa, then the spiritual world was revealed to him. Then Krishna saw this person serious. He wants to find out where everything's coming from. So we have no patience. I mean, just to sit in this class, we can see that people are about to either fall asleep or their feet are already on the ground trying to get out. So what's our possibility? Only by Harinam Sankirtan. And then when we get a little bit fired up by Harinam Sankirtan, then we can try and do a little japa and watch our minds wandering around the universe and try and control them. Try and bring them back. And hopefully we'll go in Harinam again to get inspired. Or do some service where we forget about our minds after some time. Actually get them involved in Krishna's service. In any case, if we follow the process, after a while, we will realize Krishna. Krishna will actually see we're sincere, and we'll actually remember Krishna, and we'll feel some transcendental happiness, and then we'll become inspired to continue on with the process. And one day, when we meet Krishna personally, then there will be no more bodily concept of life. Of course, even before that, at the state, very advanced stages, there's practically no bodily concept of life. And we have association with Krishna. But complete realization only comes when one actually personally meets Krishna and realizes one's spiritual identity. And therefore, Maya will have no more influence on one. Even if one is meditating upon Krishna's pastimes, still, if one has not realized one's spiritual identity, it's more or less like watching or experiencing, but one has not really understood one's spiritual identity. Of course, at the state of bhava, which is also full self-realization, even a little bit of bhava, which is only one ray in the sunlight of prema, at least at that time one's spiritual identity is revealed to one. Because our identity is actually just simply feeling of love for Krishna. That's our whole identity. That's who we are. Bhava. We are actually made out of pleasure, love, or affection, whatever you want to call it. So that's who we are. And at the stage of bhava, we realize who we are. And that bhava grows and grows and grows until it comes to prema. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Recognize something for your internal position.
What's that?
After the Urmila,
Yeah.
Sometimes my ask will tell me, I have some questions, but yeah.
It's possible the state of anartha nirvritti.
Recognize something for my something like dark is light coming from.
No, I understand. I understand what you. Maybe, still there'll be doubts. Because we don't until we realize our spiritual identity, there'll always be doubts. And even if it's revealed to us something, an experience of what our identity is, still there'd be doubts until we enter into our actual personality. Anything else? Kala Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.